This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
14 years ago today, one of the great rants in college sports history took place. Roll the videotape from Stillwater, America.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. Don't write about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then say that the coaches said he was scared. That ain't true.
Coach, if you could slide over behind the microphone, please. We'd like you to get behind the microphone, not out there in the middle of the area. It's what happens when you get rid of the lunch table. Podiums cause that problem.
Gundy's rant is still a classic. It will be a classic 50 years from now when you go back, and it was awesome. It is hard to believe that was 14 years ago. It's almost like you knew exactly where you were when you heard it for the very first time.
Yep.
And of course, he's still doing his thing. He had a good win against Boise State over the weekend on the blue turf. But that was one for the ages.
All right. So it brings about of recent memory. You can chime in on this too now. Don't forget. Some of the best ACC rants. I remember when a sometime guest contributor to this show once asked Dabo Swinney about Clemsoning.
That didn't go over well.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that you're even asking me that question. That you even say the word. I mean, I'm serious. I'm sick of it. I don't even know why people even bring up the dadgum word. How about some of these other teams out there that lose to unranked opponents all the time? That's our 33rd win versus unranked opponent. We ain't lost to anybody unranked since 2011, but I have to come to a press conference in 2015 and get asked that. And that's all media bull crap. I can tell you how they feel about it. They don't like it. It's a lack of respect. It's not doing your homework and paying attention to what reality is. Should not be asked that question. Period. That's how we feel about it. This football team right here has earned the respect. Ain't nobody giving us anything. Not one ounce of anything. They've earned everything they got. And when I have to turn on the TV and people bring up that word and they try to casually throw the word out there like you do, but it's still the word. It shouldn't even be in the conversation. That's how they feel about it. That's how I feel about it. It's like people trying to push their own agenda out there. And I can't believe I got to come in here with a 5-0 football team that just had a great win and have to be talked about Clemsoning. I shouldn't even be in the conversation.
You mean the media has an agenda against Clemson? They do? Wow. I hate to break it to Dabo. That's still going on. I can give you a whole list. That hadn't changed. But Clemsoning has. That's changed. You don't hear that anymore. Unless you're talking about holding up a trophy.
Kind of like Martinizing. You know, when you go to the dry cleaner, that 1 hour Martinizing.
Dabo was right, though. He was 100 trillion percent.
He got worked up to the sweat.
Let me tell you something. I don't blame him because it was garbage then. And there's a bunch of media narratives that's garbage now.
Totally different. Roy Williams from a couple of years ago.
Well, you got two choices. You can compete your butt off, or you can get up in the fetal position and curl up and start crying. I'm not going to freaking do that. We're going to excuse me. I apologize to everybody. We're going to freaking compete, and that's what we're going to do. We play Saturday. You can feel sorry for yourself, and you feel sorry for yourself, and you're going to do that the rest of your freaking life. And I apologize. I usually don't. No, I don't know what I'm doing right now when I'm cursing. But you can feel sorry for yourself, and you can give in, or you can freaking compete. There's only two choices. There's no halfway. You got to be all in, or you got to leave.
So good. Yeah, I'm going to miss old Roy Williams. I'm telling you. I'm going to miss Roy in this league.
Let me. This has nothing to do with this show or our network.
Well, let's talk about that.
He just did he just finished taping a long form interview with Jones Angel and Adam Lucas on the Carolina Insider podcast. And you don't have to be a Carolina fan to listen to this, but I'm telling you, it is as revealing an interview about his decision to retire and the emotions tied to it and all those things. And he cites the season before the COVID, the year that came from, when they lost at Notre Dame. Remember those series of last-second shots and all that? I mean, it takes you through that journey. And when I saw that, it just reminded me of listening to that interview and him talking about the emotional roller coasters of competing. Because Dean Smith told him when he became a head coach, he said, I don't know if you're going to be any good at this or not, because I don't know if you can stand to lose.
And he didn't lose much.
He didn't lose much, but man, did he wear it when he did sometimes, right?
You know, Wes, you either going to make a commitment to the podcast or you can just quit.
I'm just going to tell you that. No in between, Pat.
You can podcast or just quit.
All right. Funny that Coach Williams' rant happened at Notre Dame.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you, one of our Packer and Durham favorites as a guest also gave us one of our favorite rants, Mike Bray.
Sometimes we're treated by the officials like we haven't brought football as a full member, but yet we get a full share of the ACC network TV. Are you kidding me? He tees up our bench from across the court because he's pissed off at us? I'm frustrated, man. And I tip it a cap to Florida State. They made great plays. I love Leonard. He's a good friend, and they're a great team. You got to be kidding me, man. Come on, man. We're in the league, too. We're in the league too now. Come on. Come on, John Gaffney. God.
We're in the league too.
Can we get Bray on the show just for fun this time of year? Can we get Bray sometime in the next week just to hang out for a few minutes and have a couple laughs from his car?
Maybe. You know what we should do?
What?
We got Notre Dame playing at Virginia Tech in a couple weeks, right?
That's right.
He loves his football team.
Oh, man, he loves football.
So why don't we get Bray on here to break down Notre Dame, Virginia Tech
football? That'd be a good idea. Let's do that.
We're in the league, too.
And talk a little bit about it. Coach, we'll turn the green lights on for you.
I swear to God, we'll turn the green lights. I will have green lights on for Mike Bray.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Why not?
We went with our traditional blue tent.
Packer and Durham blue?
Yeah, that's kind of what we did here.
Kind of matches the hats and the mugs. All right.
Which you can't buy.
We went old school for this, so pay attention.
Oh, you're going to.
Let me just say, too, that some of you are old enough to remember a post-game handshake between the Clemson and NC State coach that probably shouldn't have had a camera in the middle of it, but did. We don't have that video. Daggone it. But we do have
fine youngster people.
We got Danny Ford and officials. Ladies and gentlemen.
Old school.
Danny Ford is going on the field to talk to the officials who are huddled inside the five. That's rather unusual.
You missed a call last week on the sideline. The 25-second went off there. I saw the son of a...
Oh, I love Danny Ford.
By the way, if we could have gotten Bobby Ross mic'd up the same game, we'd have a film.
Well, you know, I was running the old radio network back in the day when both Bobby Ross and Danny Ford were up in the booth. They'd both gotten suspended.
That's right.
In Baltimore.
Yeah.
And that was another great – again, those old school Clemson – there. I said this before. In the 80s, there was a run with Clemson – Maryland and North Carolina.
Yeah.
Those three teams were so good, and the games were so competitive and so tough.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Ross had a great team at Maryland, and Dick Krem was rocking it at North Carolina, yep. And Danny was killing it in the 80s. But, man, those three combinations, whatever that was, who was playing it, North Carolina, Maryland, Clemson,
sure.
Carolina, whatever, those were great games, intense football games.
They honored Monty Kiffin in Tampa on Sunday during the Falcons-Bucks game. And the first thing
Did he come out with a horse?
Well, no. I did say on the radio, though, that coming up at the half, they're going to honor Monty Kiffin for his work with the Buccaneers. I tend to remember him riding a horse dressed as the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
And Archer looked at me like, what in the world?
Oh, you got to know
that. I'm telling
that.
You, man, that's what he did.
He did.
But Monty Kiffin and Danny Ford at midfield.
Ooh.
Remember that one?
Oof. That was not pretty.
Not pretty.
We needed some security for that one.
And the camera guy got right in there.
Oh, that was heated exchange.
You
we,
can
we got to tell you what, you couldn't have aired that on Sirius XM.
You you can look, as they like to say, you can look that one up.
Yeah.
Just type in Danny Ford, Monty Kiffin postgame.
Yeah. That would be true.
We couldn't aired it here for sure.
Now we're just scratching the surface on rants because there's some all timers here. But those were great.
Don't forget 844-SAY-ACCN. You got a few rants you want to go over? Not your rants, somebody else's rants, coaching rants. That's what we're after here. What about the home field advantage? What about starting fast and finishing fast? All that and more coming up here in this Power Hour, by the way.
We didn't get Mike Krzyzewski talking about the double standard in this league and officiating. That was one for the ages,
that
too.
We should have gotten that one.
That was one of the all-timers.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, big ACC games this week. Wake, Virginia, Friday night, obviously. Clemson, NC State, Louisville, Florida State, Carolina, Georgia Tech, all on the card. You'll see the Jackets and Tar Heels from Mercedes-Benz in primetime here on ACC Network. Downtown, presented by Geico. First quarter scoring margins, fourth quarter scoring margins. Three games, not a full sample, nonetheless tells a bit of a story. We talked about this in the first hour. Look at your opponents, kind of look at your margins. Should be no surprise to anybody that Boston College has the best first quarter scoring margin. Why? Quite frankly, the Eagles, they've dipped their toe in the water. Colgate, UMass, 28-3 win on Saturday. At Temple, things ratchet up a little bit. Missouri comes calling to Alumni Stadium this weekend. Clemson's 35-0. There's a different story behind that, Pack.
Well, you play Georgia, you play Georgia Tech. Qualities of opponents a little bit better. You got South Carolina State stuck there in the middle like an Oreo cookie. But, you know, 35-0 start from that perspective. That's the good news. Hey, the zero part's no surprise. The Clemson defense has been nothing short of awesome. But, you know, can they sustain that now, finding their offense moving forward? NC State on the road could be a different story. We'll see.
Of those teams plus 20 or more, Clemson the hardest schedule by a long shot.
Yeah, I think Clemson's played a – if you're going to rank who have you played, Clemson would be on the top of that list. And the fact that they're a plus 35 makes that the most impressive, I think, of the teams at the very, very top. But as I told you in hour number one
– Yes, sir.
The team that jumps out at me on that entire list is not – the top four. It's the bottom team. It's Miami. -8. Now, they've played Bama, legit. They played App State, really good team. They played Michigan State, off to a great 3-0 start. They've really played people. But for Miami, hey, you knew that in the middle of the summer. What was coming down the pike, you had to be ready to go. The fact that they've gotten off to a slow start from a scoring standpoint, maybe a reason they're 1-2. Keep an eye on them when we get to the fourth quarter scoring.
That's right. Sidebar on the Clemson 35, 28 of them came against South Carolina State. So Carolina, 18-plus. Georgia Tech, 14-plus. If you're looking at NC State, obviously Starkville interesting there from a scoring margin because Mississippi State ran the opening kickback. But you start thinking about kind of the way it sets up. NC State, plus 13. Clemson, plus 35. Let's go to fourth quarter scoring margin here because the story here is also interesting. When you start going to the fourth quarter, you're looking at, like, in the case of NC State, you're plus 11. In the case of Clemson, you're plus 5. Okay, what does that mean on Saturday afternoon at Carter-Finley Stadium? Be interesting to see. Likewise, Wake Forest, different scheduling. You're plus 22 first half. Are you getting into more depth? You're minus 7 in the second half in some of your games. Virginia, plus 3 and plus 15 as it relates to that Friday night game.
Well, the two teams I pointed out in hour number one, again, Miami dead last on this list. Negative 21. That is a problem. Means you're not getting off to a good start and you're not closing. Might be a reason you're 1-2. NC State was the other one that I thought was interesting here in fourth quarter scoring margin. And it wasn't that the plus 11 wasn't the number. The number 3 is the one that jumps out at me because they've had two sleepers, right? South Florida and last weekend against Furman. Total domination, games right. Totally under control. You're blowing somebody out at the half. But you know what? Dave Dorn's got a chance to get reserves in the game, and they're still playing hard and being effective. You don't see a whole lot of points there, only 3.
Right.
And again, that's a road trip to Stark Vegas is in the middle of all that too. So NC State, that jumps out at me that, you know what, they're playing good football in the second half.
Yep.
Keep in mind when we get ready on Saturday when Clemson comes to town.
By the way, see Florida State's 18-13 margin? All of it Notre Dame.
That's right. Fake left, go right since then. Surprise. And I'm the first one.
No points in the fourth quarter.
Well, I listen.
None.
I thought Florida State's effort against Notre Dame, I said it here, I said it on national radio, I thought it was great. It looked like it was the first time it had been a sign of life, not only with the crowd, the team, the emotion, the way they played, sense of urgency. They were terrific in the fourth quarter, had a chance to win that game, not only in regulation but also in overtime. But, man, Jacksonville State, the game that you called, the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter was an absolute disaster. And quite frankly, all 60 minutes in Switzerland Saturday was a total mess with 6 turnovers and just never in the game.
Well, there's another thing, too, that has shown up in the first couple of weeks that will eventually either kind of the tide will roll away on this. That is, and we saw it last weekend play out at Morgantown with West Virginia and Virginia Tech. If you're the road team, okay, and this is a cautionary tale for Wake Forest and potentially a cautionary tale for Clemson on Saturday. If you're the road team going to some of these venues because of what we had a year ago, lack of environment pack, lack of atmosphere, all that stuff. Take what Virginia Tech saw at Morgantown against West Virginia in a 12 noon game, right? I mean, that place was rolling. Same thing Blacksburg offered when Carolina called on that Friday night. That place was, I mean, it was going to be hard to beat the 85 Bears in there, right? Let alone Virginia Tech for Carolina. The idea of these environments is starting to shape at least the first couple of weeks. Now, can you sustain it? NC State, that's your challenge on Saturday with Clemson. Virginia, after a 20-point loss in Chapel Hill Saturday night, what will Scott Stadium be like Friday night? Virginia's plenty good at home, but can you bring the environment? Because what we're seeing, and this is not anything, it's a national thing too. You're seeing some places, teams going on the road, they get the crowds wired up. After a year off, though, it's seemingly creating some kind of a effect, if you will. I thought Florida State rode that Doak Campbell crowd on that Sunday night against Notre Dame almost to the upset. Since then, they couldn't get any traction. Couldn't get traction against Jacksonville State. Had no traction in Winston-Salem the other day.
Yeah, we've seen that happen. I think you saw it Saturday if you're watching Florida-Alabama.
There's another one.
Same kind of game in which the crowd was fantastic.
And it wasn't their home opener, but it was the chance to flip the switch with your environment.
Right, right.
But Carolina the other night against Virginia.
Right. We've also seen it go the other way, right? Iowa State. Again, I'm just picking out a couple games. I thought Oklahoma-Nebraska Saturday with all the hype of the 50-year anniversary of the greatest game of the century. Sometimes it works that you get so hyped. It sometimes works against you when things don't go well.
Yeah, right? You don't have the explosive play.
And hence, you know, we gave you the first quarter deal. Can you get off to a good start? And why that's so important. And if you're at home in a game of that magnitude, right, whether it's Virginia this Friday or NC State on Saturday or all that stuff, hey, get the folks involved in the game, right? I'll tell you, on the side note of all of this, I am personally fascinated to find out what happens in Tallahassee. You're 0-3. You're coming off really a 6 turnover, can I forget about game.
What kind of crowd?
What kind of crowd is in Tallahassee on Saturday when here comes Louisville, right? Because if you're Florida State, you know, hey, if Notre Dame's coming to town, oh, my God, got to go. Season opener, all that stuff. Now, all of a sudden, we're 3 weeks in.
Right.
And, you know, you did the Jacksonville State game, and it was still a good crowd, right?
Yep.
Good crowd. What shows up Saturday in Tallahassee? Not only in the stands, but also on the field. Now, you talking about the 1-2? Man, like I said this week, Florida State fans, you got to rally now. This is where you do have to come into play and say, guess what? We're tired of this. Mm-hmm. But the easiest thing in the world to do is go, hey, man, I got four tickets. Give them to somebody who wants to go. That's the worst thing you can do.
Right.
You got to be in the stands for this thing. I mean, that's part of turning it around. Because you know the guys are going to try to put in the work. You know that's happening. So guess what, fans? You know, if and when I turn that game on or see highlights and there's 35, 40,000 people in the stands, that's not going to get that doesn't cut it. Wes, that doesn't cut it. This is a really important time for Florida State.
I agree, totally. I think, too, if you're Carolina and you're going to Atlanta, even though you're not playing at Grant Field, you're playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, in a deal that Georgia Tech struck with the facility a couple of years ago. They were supposed to play Notre Dame there last year. This is the first time they've done this four-year contract. I think they pushed one on the back end after not being able to play Notre
Clemson's
Dame.
Clemson's there next year.
Clemson's
right?
there next year as part of the Chick-fil-A game.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Carolina, you got to be able to back it down and rechannel it now to take it on the road. Because here's Carolina after a big win against Virginia. You don't want that Florida State letdown. You don't want that Virginia letdown you had a year ago, right, if you're Mack Brown. Same applies here, too, for Wake Forest. You've just beaten Florida State by three scores. Now you're on the road. This is going to get interesting the way to see this. This is the fun part of the season when we get to see the kind of the pieces move on the board.
Well, you start to see a weeding out process by the time you get to late September, early October, and there's kind of the haves and the have-nots. And folks who thought they were going to be good that aren't, folks that said, we'll just be okay, that'll go, hey, you know what? We got a chance to be pretty good. But this is a real, real critical week for a number of teams in the league.
I'm going to be interested, by the way, Saturday night in primetime at Mercedes-Benz to see Carolina. And you know this, Atlanta's a big Carolina market. A lot of Carolina fans, a lot of fans of every school in Atlanta.
It's a melting pot.
Huh?
It's a melting pot.
It is. I'd be interested to see how many fans are there Saturday night wearing light blue as opposed to the Grand Field game. Bigger facility, bigger, you know.
I think there's two teams that I'm curious to see what happens here in the next 2 weeks, 10 days. I just told you about Florida State and what shows up Saturday, mm-hmm. with on the field and off the field.
Right.
Same thing with Miami. And it won't necessarily be this week because of who you're playing.
Right.
But next week. And here comes Virginia in the middle of the week. It's a Thursday night game, if I'm not mistaken. This is, again, we reach critical spots for every team. It happens at different spots in a season. You know, I think it's important this weekend, NC State Clemson, because that's kind of a defining game
right.
in a division.
I agree
with
where
you. That's going to go. Same thing with Florida State. Hey, you're 0-3. It's not pretty. You want to turn this thing around. You want to keep getting recruiting classes going great. You want fans in the stands. You want the sense of, hey, there's still momentum with the program. Let's figure this thing out. I think Miami next week, when Virginia comes to town, beyond critical, right? Not only with what's in the stands, what's the mindset of your team, what's the latest on De'Aaron King? We still don't know that deal, too.
Yeah.
And so we're getting to that point where, hey, it's time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Time to show up and start showing me something. So
yep.
What happens with the Hoos this Friday night? Can you imagine Virginia could be on a two-game losing streak? Going to Miami, or they beat Wake Forest and go, guess what? We're right where we need to be.
Yep.
Let's go to Miami and see.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
I'm not going to be announcing anything right here because it'll be a tactical advantage for our opponent. But in the order of they will know first, the team will know second, and the media will know third. Hopefully it's that order.
That's right. The media will know third. Should be a T-shirt. Dino Babers taking
tactical it. Tactical advantage. That's my line.
That is chapter one of the Mark Packer's Never Coached a Game in His Life playbook right there. Media will know
third. And you think that Dino has decided to change course based on what you told him? And
he did.
Because in Ohio, you got upset with him. Because
I was not happy with Dino.
You were not happy.
Because he was on the show, and then 2 days later, he announced the starting quarterback in the middle of the week. I'm like, no. You tell Ohio nothing. You don't let them know who your quarterback is. And here
telling Liberty nothing now.
Hey, tell Liberty squat.
Right.
Hey, Hugh Freeze, hey, you done a nice job. Guess what? Saturday, you'll find out who my starter is. And by the way, we're going to hand it to Sean Tucker 45 times.
And keep Malik Willis off the field.
You're not going to see Malik. Well, you know, you tell him to just hang out, grab a hot dog up there at Syracuse.
Yeah.
Catch you later.
All right. Here we go, kids. Time for conference cuts. Second edition of them. Off to Chapel Hill. Mack Brown at the podium. How do you know if your team can follow up a great performance with another one Saturday night in downtown Atlanta?
One of the things that I watched when I sat in your all seat for 5 years is teams not play well. They just weren't ready to play, and they didn't play hard. So I promised myself the one thing that I was going to be passionate about and try the hardest is to coach a team that plays hard every week. I remember in my early years, Coach Osborne's Nebraska teams, if they were playing an awful team, they played the same way if they were playing for a championship. And I couldn't figure it out because nobody else was. And you see teams now, and it's just crazy, the upsets we're seeing. And I love college football. I love the history. I'm trying to figure it out. And other than the transfer portal, I can't figure out anything that's any different. And maybe that's it. Maybe we're all out of whack a little bit with who's taking transfers. And maybe these teams will get better. Maybe the locker rooms are different. I just don't know. But we're seeing I could go list all the things you and I see every Saturday that say this makes no sense. So one game doesn't seem like it leads to another at all. It goes back to the Dick Tomey quote to me many years ago. It's not the best team. It's the team that plays best on Saturday.
Dick Tomey reference.
Like it. All right. Mac's opponent on Saturday night, Jeff Collins in Georgia Tech. And yesterday at his media availability, Jeff Collins was asked, do you talk to your team about trying to win the Coastal?
Not really. That's we talk about one game at a time. We talk about one series at a time. We talk about one play at a time. The only thing that I did mention to them was the way the schedule was broken up. There's three games to begin that were not in our division. Then you got three straight in our division, then the bye week, three straight in our division, then finish with three that are not in our division. But it is one game at a time. Cannot get too far ahead. We're still in the building blocks of doing this thing the right way. So there is zero focus other than getting ready to play a big-time North Carolina team. That is the sole focus in our program. And they deserve every ounce of our respect. They deserve every ounce of our focus. And we've got to do that all day, every day, until the tip.
I get that, and he's right.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. Oh, Jeff Collins and his staff last Saturday had a great plan.
Yeah.
And they just about pulled that thing off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, yeah, it's not the moral victory parade time. But, man, if you don't see signs of life for that program, the way they're building it, wake up. Because he did a heck of a job, he and his staff and his kids last week.
I was kind of qualifying his schedule here, too. I see hard game, harder game, hard.
So you want to put that on a poster next year for Georgia Tech? It's not the name of the team. It's just harder.
Yes, I'm with him. I get the in division, but just he's right. Line it up, you know, the old Collins line. Put the ball down. Let's play.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to have to do. And the question about the Coastal is irrelevant. It takes care of itself. You're 0-1 in the league against a team out of your division, and you know the secondary piece outside of head-to-head is, you know, overall record. So just win your division games, and you'll give yourself an opportunity. Justin Fuente next.
Fun with Fu.
Speaking of, from a Coastal Division standpoint, he's in the same position he was a week ago. How do you translate that to your team?
You know, in the grand scheme of things, we're in the middle of this non-conference run. Yeah, the West Virginia game is different. It is, I get, you know, we, trust me, we understand that part of it. So I'm not diminishing the importance of playing and winning that game. I'm just saying we're in the middle of four non-conference games here that have no effect on the ACC. But they do have effect on your postseason recognition, right? Non-conference games are for postseason recognition. So they do affect bowl eligibility, and then if you're bowl eligible, your opportunities, where the bowls go, so on and so forth, all the way up the ladder that you all understand. So, I mean, we get that part of it too. So it was weird. We played a conference game, and you go put that in the closet, and you go focus on these four non-conference games. And, you know, we have this game that we have to find a way to – whoever's available, whoever's not available, you got to find a way for us to continue to improve, to give our team in the long run a chance to be the best team that we can be.
There you go. That's well said. Exactly right. Dabo Swinney next. What do you say when Georgia Tech gives you a completely different look than what you saw on film?
Well, I mean, I think you tip your cap. You know, that's the biggest thing. I mean, you prepare for what you think they're going to do. And, you know, you only get 17 hours of preparation time. So you got to make decisions, and you base it on what you've seen on tape. And then you get in the game and it's not what you've seen on tape. Hey, tip your hat to them. They caught us off guard a little bit, but we made the adjustments. And if we don't screw it up, you know, it's 24 points or 27 points. And, you know, we just didn't finish the drives with the type of points. We were very efficient, and again, but when you have long drives like that and you get nothing for it, it's a double-edged sword there. You know, Virginia Tech last year, different but similar in how they wanted to play, but we scored, and you know we didn't do that, and so I think, you know, because then I think once you get the type of lead, then things change a little bit, but we didn't, so. Just kind of, you know, stuck with it, and next thing you know, you make some mistakes and things like that, and you're in a dogfight.
You know, at the end of the day, you got the W. Mm-hmm. As Dabo also said yesterday, he goes, "Our offense doesn't stink. You know, we got work to do, and they do." And like I said 100 times a day on the show, Clemson at NC State, 3:30, Carter Finley will be a big deal. Big deal.
Dave Dorn next. He'll help us close conference cuts. What can you take from the Clemson-Georgia Tech game to help your Wolfpack team this week?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of similarities defensively. Georgia Tech played, you know, a 3-3-5 structure, which is what we play. They don't normally do that, so I think they caught Clemson off guard a little bit. Their preparation was probably for four down, and they got into that game and played a lot of three down, three safety defense. So, you know, that film is obviously good film for us because there's similar schemes that are played. I thought Georgia Tech did a nice job. You know, I mean, they hung in the game. They got off the field. They pressured the quarterback. They didn't give up big plays. You know, they were very competitive. They had a chance to tie the game at the end. And, you know, Skalski made a hell of a play on fourth down on the goal line to keep them from getting in on that little shovel play. But, yeah, we watch every game. I mean, I went home from our game against Furman and turned on the Georgia Tech Clemson TV copy to watch the game before I went to bed. So, I mean, that's what we do is study film and learn everything we can about our opponents.
Game on.
Game on. Yep. Saturday afternoon, 3:30. Ball game will be over on ABC, by the way. Or I should say ESPN. Mark Jones, Robert Griffin III, Quint Kesnick will be there. At Raleigh and Carter Finley Stadium. Good sampling on the conference cuts today.
Outstanding. Always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed Dino Babers. I think the most of the entire lot playing the keep away game from Liberty from the quarterback perspective.
Absolutely.
2-1, already double the win total from a year ago.
Yeah.
The voice of multiple victories is looking for even more this week.
Be a good one to get Friday night against Liberty, by the way. When we come back, here it is. Nice job. Way to go, the promo.
ACC, I'm here for you.
ACC football presented by Dr. Pepper. Drew Carter, Bobby Carpenter, Taylor Davis will be at the Dome Friday night, 8 o'clock, for Liberty and the Cuse. The Flames' Malik Willis is really good at football. He's the quarterback. It's on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Not when you give them 19 minutes of time of possession, West Durham. Move the chains. You tell Malik to grab him a Coca-Cola or whatever soft drink they serve there at Liberty.
Yeah.
And enjoy watching Syracuse football.
Run the rock, huh?
Run it. Eat up clock. Move the chains.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
So
So it was 30 years ago this month that my family moved to Roanoke, Virginia, on Lost Mountain Road. And my dad immediately put up a hoop for me and my older sisters to play on. It was on that court that my basketball dreams began to take shape. It was an uneven patch of dirt, gravel, and grass. And as a seven-year-old boy, I dreamed of playing at Duke. As I got older, I dreamed of playing in the NBA. The last 30 years of basketball have been beyond my wildest dreams. I never could have imagined that I would have played basketball for this long. After years of youth leagues, AAU, high school basketball, 4 years at Duke, and 15 years in the NBA, I'm retiring from the game that I love so much.
Quite a run.
I'd say so. Right?
Quite a run for old J.J. Redick.
Guy who a lot of people thought might be really limited.
Well, I'm not going to throw him under the bus.
I'm not either. He was a tremendous talent.
No, I'm not talking about J.J. Redick. I'm talking about one of my old partners on Primetime with the Pac-Man Radio.
Go ahead.
Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, who I love to death. It's with the Celtics Radio Network. I cannot tell you how many times Cedric and I would have a conversation about players in the NBA. And I'd bring up J.J. Redick. And Cornbread would go, and if you know Cornbread, you know Cornbread. And just out, you know, he's just a character. He's great. And Cornbread would go, Pac-Man, are you crazy? J.J. Redick? He goes, you could go down to any rec league and find a J.J. Redick. I said, you're out of your mind. Pac-Man, you don't know nothing about no NBA. And I said, well, you're probably right about that. And here's J.J. Redick, 15 years in the league, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, he was he was a legendary figure at Duke.
Yes.
I mean, he was
in the rafters.
Oh, he was one of those guys that when he went on the road in the ACC,
right,
there was a target on his chest.
Absolutely.
The second he came up for the warm-up drill. I mean, fans loved to go after J.J. Redick.
Look at this.
And he loved it too.
ACC history now. Second in points, first in three-pointers made, first in free throw percentage, second in consecutive free throws made.
But he loved the villain role. Now.
Oh, loved absolutely.
It. It was the perfect fit for those Duke teams when he was there. And he'd come out there, man, people would go crazy, and he'd light you up like a Christmas tree.
Yep.
And went on the NBA fame, what, $116 million? Isn't that what his contracts were?
$116 million in career earnings for somebody him. That you can find, apparently.
In the rec league.
At the rec league.
Yeah, that's good for him. He has had a great run, a great career. And goes out on his terms, and congratulations.
Remember, on this show, we don't do trivia.
Well, you do.
No, we don't. We do bar bets.
Bar bets, that's right.
We don't do trivia because Packer is not going to be part of a show that does trivia.
No. Low-hanging fruit.
So, Brian Ives, ACC researcher, producer, general raconteur of this network, wouldn't you agree?
And absolute enthusiastic Tar Heel fan.
Yes. Had this tweet yesterday. With Redick retiring, just two of the top 100 scorers in ACC history are currently playing in the NBA. And here's the bar bet. The two are Grayson Allen and Malcolm Brogdon. Gosh. Sign of the one and done times. Absolutely true.
Yep.
But if you asked somebody, oh, I'm a big ACC fan. I would have dead gone wrong on all this right here.
Oh, I'd have been over.
Who are the two top 100 scorers in ACC basketball history currently playing in the NBA? And the answer is Grayson Allen and Malcolm Brogdon.
I'd have never guessed it, ever. It's a great bar bet. That's a bar bet. That will impress your friends. If you're watching the show, you want to impress your friends.
Take that one to lunch.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You boys cracking open the BBQ sandwiches up there on Tobacco Road today.
Just
take that one to your friends.
This is where the bar bit comes in. You say, I'll tell you what, I got a question. If any of you can answer it, you know what? I'll buy you lunch. If not, you buy mine.
That's it.
That's what the bar bet's all about.
Yep. There you go.
But what a career, though, for J.J. Redick. Really amazing.
Boy, he'd be really good here, wouldn't he?
I said ACC Network should hire him.
Tell you what, J.J., here's the deal.
Oh, here we go. Watch
I know
out.
I know you got the Old Man and the Three podcast going on. I know you got a bunch of stuff happening. I worked at Georgia Tech when you were drilling threes over the top of everybody. I remember you and Robert Brooks scrambled around on the floor over there one day in Atlanta. Those Duke-Georgia Tech games were really good.
Oh.
Man, those were Ishmael Muhammad and all that crowd, right? BJ Elder, Jarrett Jack. Shoot, those were fun.
Tough guys.
Tell you what we'd like to do, JJ. We're all about building bridges here on the ACC Network, aren't we, Pac?
No, sometimes.
No, no, come on. We're building bridges.
You mean within the league?
Yes.
Oh, with all the time.
So, you know what? Come on, man. Come on. We got, you know, we got people here. We got, you know, Luke Hancock played at Louisville. Boozer.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what we'll do, JJ. We'll throw in the only
the
Packer
last
and
one.
Durham hat.
The last
just for
one.
You.
That's
just
what
you.
We'll do. Last one.
JJ, this might. I know you made $116 million. In the NBA.
But you don't have one of these.
That's what? For $116 million, you couldn't buy one of these. You know why? They're not for sale. This one, however, you could
we'll
probably
do.
Get for $100 million.
Yep.
$100 million. All right. I digress. $100.
Yeah.
Call it even.
But come on, JJ. Come on over. We'll do that. That'd be fun. Oh, look out. Look out. Now you're handling things again.
I don't want to mess up my lights.
No, you don't. Yeah, the lights made their debut today.
I thought the lights were a nice touch today. I got to tell you, wait till you see what I've got planned, if we can pull it off. And I think we can.
You know what I'm going to do after the show's over? I'm going to get another cup of coffee, and I'm going to have some lemon squares.
Oh, I forgot the lemon squares are out. Oh, Otto's out there. I put them in the fridge. Out here. If Otto gets his hands, he likes those light beers out there.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't want to put the lemon squares upstairs.
Why?
Because I can walk 8 feet to get the lemon squares in the refrigerator downstairs. That's why. Big man.
We got more tomorrow on this show. Further breakdowns of Saturday night in downtown Atlanta with Tim Hasselbeck, who will join us as always on a Thursday. Don't forget, we got Friday Night Football now. Wake Forest, Virginia is over on ESPN2. Liberty and Syracuse right here on ACC Network starting at 8. Couple of big Friday night games. Then we got a Thursday night game next week with Miami and Virginia.
Yep. Big game.
Plus, we
boys.
Got Missouri, Boston College. We got Clemson State, Louisville, Florida State, Kansas at Duke here on the network. And also, we told you Carolina and Georgia Tech on Saturday night. So, great show. Travion Cooley, thank you for your time this morning. Nice to meet you, young man. Look forward to talking about you for the next few years at the University of Louisville. And we always enjoy Tom Luganbill.
We will when we finally get our steak dinner.
Yeah. Apparently Monday night he's picking up the tab.
That's what I heard.
His spot. He's the one telling us where we're going. So
that's what I heard.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.